The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So again, a really warm welcome to everybody. And as those of you who have been coming regularly know, that Nikki and I are working our way through the Brahma Viharas, and now we're out working with compassion. And I like to define compassion as when loving kindness, when one is like radiating, sending out loving kindness, and this loving kindness meets suffering, it meets difficulties, then it just naturally transforms, shifts, and turns into compassion. So compassion is this combination of this warm-heartedness, a care, a kindness, a goodwill, maybe a love, coupled with or imbued with or a wish for the suffering to end. And I'm using this word suffering to represent, you know, just such a wide range, every possible manifestation of just not feeling comfortable, all the way up to feeling really, you know, emotional distress, physical distress, whatever it might be. So compassion as loving kindness, warm-heartedness, meeting suffering. And then that warmth just starts to include, oh yeah, also I have this goodwill and I wish for your difficulties to diminish. And sometimes this compassion, when it arises, can be coupled with actions. Not all the time. We don't have to feel that we're obligated to do compassionate acts or something like this, go out and do some grand gestures or something like this. That's not what this is about. It's about cultivating our hearts and minds. But you might find that it just feels like a natural gesture. It just feels like it makes sense to you in some kind of way. It just feels like the right thing to do is to do some compassion, either for somebody you know directly or maybe more globally, feed people who don't have homes or something like this. But if we have this idea that to cultivate compassion, to practice compassion, to have compassion requires us to do something, then we might be shying away and feeling like, oh, I'm not ready. I'm not ready for that. My life's complicated enough or whatever it might be. So that's no requirement. As I said, though, you might discover that it's just a natural outpouring of this practice. So we start practicing, whether it's loving kindness or compassion. We start where it's easy. Of course we do. And we start where it's easy just so that we can connect with it and get a sense with it. And then we kind of expand out to more and more challenging categories of people, types of people. So with compassion, we often start with somebody that we care about and bring to mind some of the difficulties they might be having. Then we can do it to ourselves. And now we're going to do for somebody that's a little troubling for us, a little bit irksome, irritating, annoying, not the most difficult person in your life, but somebody that sometimes we would feel like we don't even want to send them loving kindness or compassion. Why would we do that? You know, we might have some of those kinds of thoughts in the mind. I have maybe two things I'll say about that. One is, do you really want this person to not experience the ending of any difficulties they have? Do you want them to just be in pain all the time, whether it's emotional pain, physical pain? Do you think that they will be less annoying if they're in pain all the time? So that's a little bit of logic there, that of course we want them to feel better so that they have the space. They have enough ease that maybe they'll be able to see things differently or do things differently. Or all of us have this experience that we can't really shift or what we say and do when we're under terrible duress. It's usually when we have some ease that we're able to make some changes or see things differently or let go of some really beliefs that we're holding on really tightly. Often we can only do that when we have a certain amount of safety and a certain amount of comfort, not complete safety and comfort. But... And then maybe something else I'll share is not too long ago, I was driving and I came to a four-way stop. And there was an island to the left of me. And there were some workers on the island, and they were just a few feet from my car. And I was just kind of like, what are they doing? This was in my neighborhood, so I was kind of curious, like, wow, what's happening here? And I wasn't paying as much attention as I should have to the four-way stop, like whose turn it was to go next. And I thought it was my turn. And so I started to go just slowly. I didn't punch it or anything like this. And then this other car was, I guess they thought it was their turn, and they went. But not only did they go, but they like honked their horn and they were giving me the finger, slowing down and yelling at me. Really? I mean, all I did was just go a little bit across the stop sign. Nobody was in danger or anything, and it was completely my fault. I mean, I take full responsibility. I wasn't paying as much attention as I should have. I was so fascinated by what these other workers were doing. And then I thought to myself, wow, what must it be like? So first I was a little bit surprised. I should say that my initial was like, wow, like, did I miss something? Why did I get this response from this person? And then this feeling like, oh, what it must be like to be inside that person, that inner experience of what this person must be experiencing on the inside, that such a minor incident caused such a large response. You know, so in a way, we can see how instead of kind of focusing on what people do, that irritating, that irksome, annoying thing that they do, we might consider that they might be doing this because there's something inside them that doesn't feel comfortable, that they don't feel at ease, they don't feel comfortable. And this is a way that we can maybe have some compassion, is to recognize, oh, I see. You know, we don't know people's inner life, but I'm pretty confident that if, for example, in the story I just gave, somebody giving the finger, yelling and honking with a really minor thing doesn't feel at ease, doesn't have spaciousness in their life. So this is something to consider when we think about there might be some resistance to having compassion for people that aren't our favorite people. You can put it that way, or something like this. So with that as an introduction, let's do some practice. Let's just begin with maybe a few longer, deeper breaths than you might ordinarily take, just as a way of connecting or with this moment, with this experience. Sometimes exaggerated movements make it easier. Make it easier to connect. And then feeling into the body. What does it feel like to be here now? maybe noticing the kind of body is oriented in space, the uprightness, or if you're lying down, the lying downness. You can feel the pressure, whatever is supporting us, chair, cushion, bench, couch. Then we can rest our attention on the sensations of breathing. Just noticing the movements of the chest or the belly with the breath, or noticing the movement of air going through the nose. Maybe feeling the expansion of parts of the body with parts of the breath. And then non-expansion, contraction or going back. In a simple, relaxed way. When the mind wanders, it wouldn't be surprising if the mind did wander. When it does, just very simply, gently, begin again with the sensations of breathing. Feeling the rhythm of breathing. Just the natural flow, the breath in and out. And then to begin our compassion practice, let's begin with some loving kindness. We'll start where it's easy. The lovable being, bringing to mind somebody for whom it's easy to feel love, easy to feel kindness, care, warmth, goodwill, benevolence, respect. Visualizing this being in the mind. This might be somebody you know. Might be somebody you know about. Might be an imaginary. Kittens, puppies, babies, wherever it's easy to have a warm feeling. And just like with mindfulness practice, we bring our attention back to the object this evening. We did the sensations of breathing. So in the same way that we bring the mind back to the breath, we can bring the mind and the heart in some kind of way back to this lovable being, the sensations associated with it, or the intention to cultivate loving kindness by saying phrases. And just like the breath has a rhythm, we can use the phrases as a way to have a certain rhythm. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. We can check in with the body and see if there's any feeling of warmth or spaciousness or openness in the heart, chest area. Some people feel it in the belly. And if it's there, you can allow that feeling to be a support for us. Just like connecting with the lovable being can be a support. The connection might be with visualizing them. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Right now, we're just letting the heart and mind resonate or explore loving kindness. creating the conditions, no guarantee that any particular experience will arise. But we have the intention of cultivating loving kindness. Then we might imagine that this lovable being is experiencing some difficulties. We might know these difficulties, we might not, but all beings have difficulties. If they have a body, they have bodily difficulties. The body needs to be cared for and fed, sleep. Maybe they experience frustration, disappointment. You can bring to mind that they have some difficulties. Maybe you can imagine a particular one. If not achieving something really important to them, feeling this real disappointment that we might not know about. And then to support the cultivation of compassion, we can say this phrase. May your difficulties ease. May you know peace. May your difficulties ease. May you know peace. May your difficulties ease. May you know peace. Letting that warm-heartedness that we were cultivating earlier turn into compassion, this wish for their suffering to end. And then we can expand our compassion to include ourselves. Of course, we have difficulties too. Can we bring that same warm-hearted care to ourselves without any judgment or condemnation? Just the warm-hearted care. May my difficulties ease. May I know peace. May my difficulties ease. May I know peace. May my difficulties ease. May I know peace. Again, maybe checking in with sensations in the body, allowing any sense of warmth or openness, spaciousness, even if it's just a small part of your experience. Allowing that to get as big as it would like. Just allowing, not forcing or making it. And then to expand our loving kindness a little bit further. I'm sorry, loving kindness and compassion. A little bit further to somebody that's a bit irksome, annoying, irritating. We're not doing the most difficult person. Can we connect with them in a warm-hearted way? And wish that their difficulties could ease. So that they might have the capacity, the opportunity, and some real happiness. Just like us, they want to be happy too. So bringing to mind that mildly difficult person. Can you connect with them in a way that's spacious, warm? It's helpful just do loving kindness for them initially. And then to imagine some difficulty they are having. You might know about a specific one or not. May your difficulties ease. May you know peace. May your difficulties ease. May you know peace. May your difficulties ease. May you know peace. We find ourselves getting a little agitated or can't quite connect. We can always go back to the lovable being and fuel up on some loving kindness, so to speak. Or perhaps do a little bit of mindfulness of breathing, coming back to yourself and to this moment. Maybe refreshing the image of the mildly difficult person, imagining the difficulty they're having. May your difficulties ease. May you know peace. May your difficulties ease. May you know peace. when we have compassion, it might just get translated as having more openness, paying attention, being present in a different way. Instead of shutting down, closing down. Yeah, just a little bit more effort, not straining. A little bit more effort is needed for that mildly irritating person. Not tightening, not straining, striving. Just a little bit more persistence or diligence, or I'm not sure what word exactly. May your difficulties ease. May you know peace. And then to end this meditation, feel your feet on the ground. Feel the pressure of the chair or cushion against your body. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. Sometimes we might have this idea that, well, why would I send loving kindness or compassion to these people? It should only be reserved for my favorite people, those people that I really like or something. Part of the reason why we practice this is for our own hearts, for our own hearts to have freedom and space and openness in more and more situations. This is the way to have a good life, is to not to be closed down or not to be busy kind of dividing the world. Okay, well, I'll treat these people this way and these people this other way, but instead to just have this openness and a willingness to meet and be with what life brings us, right? We don't always get to choose, of course. Discover this. So now I'd like to put you into some breakout rooms where you can have an opportunity to talk about this idea of loving kindness or compassion for a mildly difficult person. what have you found that supports you? Is there sometimes like maybe some reframing of your thinking that helps you to do that? Like I was suggesting, just that we're thinking like, well, of course, we don't want them to be in pain all the time because they will, then they won't have an opportunity to be different or find freedom or space or ease in their lives. And do we really want that for them? So there'll be three or four of you in a room, in a breakout room, and it could be nice to just say one or two points, and then it can go to the second person, they say one or two, then it goes to the third person, it goes, they say one or two points, and then go to the fourth person, and then come back around so that you don't have to say everything, all your ideas at first, and so that there isn't one long monologue and everybody else at the end is trying to squeeze things in. Instead, just go around the circle, and I'm sure you'll discover that there's something beautiful that can be created when people come together in this way to share things. So you'll be together for 12 minutes, and let's have it that go in the, just to make it easy for the introverts and extroverts, that go in the order of birth month. So if you're born in January, you would go first. Okay, here we go. Yeah, I'm happy to hear that, Evelyn. And maybe I'll just hear one more and then we'll go. Nancy, yes.
This may not be appropriate, but I was going to ask Neil if he could say anything about the forum that he put together.
Great.
What you're doing on the forum?
So it's sort of like an email list. Anyone could mail to it, and it gets sent to everyone who's on the list.